Blog Talk Radio.
Option Show with Richard Talk to Me Guy and Sherry Edwards. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Richard. I know we're having a little bit of technical trouble. Should I just go on and hope for the best?
I think we'll just have to hope for the best. Pam dropped off, but she'll be calling back in, I'm certain.
Okay, maybe it is in the air. We certainly appreciate everybody that's here with us, listening over at Log Talk Radio Show and on WebEx. So many people complained when we put it out that we weren't going to have the WebEx, that we decided to go ahead and put it back up. So the link is up on our site at soundhealthoptions.com. If you want to join us, we're having a very delightful, fascinating guest. We love her. She's been with us time and time again. Pam Ostley. She has a new book, Infinite You and the Journey to Your Greater Self and Beyond. It says, a profound shift in occurring in human consciousness. We are evolving into a more highly developed species, one with enhanced abilities and a greater level of awareness, and it is expanding our understanding of reality. Now, I love Pam's first book, Life Colors, because I love colors and frequencies. And she talks about many colors that we don't mention, like browns and tans. And she can just look at your aura and tell what you need, who you need, what's going on in your life. But we are going to be talking about her new book, Infinite Journey. And I really had a hard time finding that on Amazon. Maybe because it's new. And then when I finally found it, it was $85, $55. So it must be an exciting book if people are fighting over the price of it. Okay. I hear you back, Richard. Are you here?
I'm back. I'm here. Thank you.
Okay. So I told people we're simultaneously broadcasting. We have a chat in each place, Blog Talk Radio, with Richard over there in California, and I'm in Ohio, where it is like pea soup here. I kid you not. I can walk 100 steps and my face and clothes are wet. And it's not raining. It's just there's so much moisture in the air. It's hard to breathe. So even though you have no water to drink, you should
appreciate
the fact.
It's just amazing to me when the weather does that. When I visited, I mean, I live in a, you know, parts of California are semi-arid, is what it's referred to as, which is kind of deserty. But when I have gone back east and I've had those days back there when it is just like that, I can't believe there's that much moisture in the air coming from a state where we barely have enough moisture to, like, you know, feed our food crops. It's just amazing to me.
I think this is what happens when man tries to control the weather. They just totally mess it up. I should let people know that we're being sponsored by the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology and Sound Health, where we stick a microphone in front of you and take a 30-second sample of your voice, and then we can tell all kinds of things about you. We are being sponsored today by Perfect Mate Software, and that's available on our keynote, which I could bring up in a minute, just because I wrote. We got an extra column going on. So here's the keynote, and it talks about cancer and cancer food. It's a fascinating read about the body's redundancy. But this Perfect Mate software, and it gives a little entertainment purposes only mate chatter. Your perfect mate this week, don't get involved with a Leo unless you're willing to share literally and figuratively. So you can catch that on our site, soundhealthoptions.com. Go to In the News and then to Keynote. And there are frequencies coming to the Earth, just like the frequencies of and the movements of the moon affect the tides. It affects the water in us and the frequencies of the water in us. And we can look at what's going to happen. And this coming week, there is going to be an issue with calcium and cancer food. So this little keynote tells you kind of how to stay out of trouble with that. Richard, do you have announcements today?
I do, and I'll also give people information depending upon where you're listening, whether you're at Blog Talk Radio or you're on WebEx. You can find everything by going to soundhealthoptions.com and then click on the radio tab, and then for today's show, click on Blog Talk Radio. And down there on the right-hand side is the call-in number for Blog Talk Radio, which is 347-850-1407. Or you can click on the link and join the chat over there. And or you can click on the link to WebEx and join the feed that Sherry's managing that has chat and shows some of the imagery that we're talking about. I do have an announcement. Oh, go ahead.
I just going to say we're going to be looking at some of Pam's books and her Facebook and her new book, and we would welcome audience questions. I think I haven't really asked Pam that, but she is very great at just hearing your voice and knowing what your colors are.
That's okay. True. I sent you an announcement in Skype chat that is pretty the stunning part of this announcement. Well, there are several stunning parts. The title of the article is Practically All the Least Healthy Foods Have This One Thing in Common. The shocking part of the headline is that this article is based on a new study from the CDC. And the study suggests that the more food from subsidized crops you eat, the worse your health is. This is from the CDC. I can't say that often enough. This is coming from within the Center for Disease Control, saying that the more subsidized crops you eat, the worse your health is. And they're talking about subsidized crops like corn, soy. I don't see wheat in here. Mostly corn and soy prices because they've been, going up and down, particularly corn. And from 1995 to 2013, federal crop subsidies to U.S. farmers totaled $183.7 billion. Those are our tax dollars at work supporting farmers growing GMO crops.
With all the stuff that you've been talking about GMOs, I just went off grains, and I feel so much better. I have so much more energy. It's amazing.
Well, and I think part of that, the energy, the grains, unless we're going to able to eat only organic, non-GMO, and how do we know? Because they're making that labeling harder and harder. It's the only way to do it is because I just think the toxic load, and I know we're talking to Stephanie Seneff either this month or next month, and I'm certain she'll have a lot more to say about all that because it's just, this is shocking really because it is coming from the CDC. I mean, it's shocking and horrible because we know that it is happening, but for our, agency within our government to be saying this, and yet we're still, if we put $183 billion in 95 to 2013, it's still happening. Our tax dollar is supporting crops that are making us sick. How does that work? That doesn't make sense to me. So that's my announcement.
And please forgive me for putting that announcement up there on the side about Hillary Clinton. I'm not with her, and I don't want that on my video. The more I learn about what's going on there, the more I know I need to keep my mouth shut, but at the same time, I don't want to advertise her. Okay, I have a couple of really short announcements. Controversy.
Okay.
New idea, nerves transmit sound, not electricity. Boy, that was a screamer. So I'm going to put that in the chat for everybody. And the other one that goes along with it, scientists have proven that your DNA can be reprogrammed by your words and frequencies. I think these people are on their way to catching up with this. The MIT Lincoln Lab just put out an announcement that they're going to do a project with the vocal prints of soldiers to see if they can determine if they have traumatic brain injury. We did that probably 8 years ago with the government, and we have the answers, but here they are, rediscovering the world or something. It just really shocks me. They're getting paid like $750,000 to do this project, and when we were doing the project, they didn't even pay us for the end of it, claiming sequestration. But they still got their information, and now they're paying somebody else 50 times more than they paid us to do it. But anyway, I think this is a great article. Scientists prove DNA can be reprogrammed by words and frequencies. My back is perfect. My back supports me wonderfully. I love my back, even though it got broken a couple of places. See? And now my words, because they come out my mouth and back into my ears, this is the only time we have this system, out your mouth, in your ears. This is this bioepigenetics that Bruce Lipton is talking about. This stuff works, which just proves that we are self-programming robots, and I just absolutely love it. Okay, while Richard is trying to get Pam back on the phone again, let's go to her site as Richard introduces her. Richard, how long have you known Pam?
Wow, I don't know. I don't have an actual number. I'll have to see if she can pull that up. I can't remember at this moment. Years. We've actually met Pam and I have actually met in person several times.
Well, she's been on the show for years with her wonderful information. She's just a delight. I'm so happy we finally got her on the phone.
Me too. So Pam Oakley is an author. For those that don't know this, which is always surprising, Pam is an author, consultant, radio show host, professional psychic intuitive, and an aura expert with an international clientele. Pam has written 4 books and Life Colors, Love Colors, Make Your Dreams Come True, and Infinite You. Pam has spoken at TEDx Talks 2012, the International Forum on New Science, Fortune 500 companies, and many seminars for professionals in the psychology, education, health fields, and more. She was awarded the Holistic Transformational Leader of the Year Award in 2014 by the Global Association of Holistic Psychotherapy and Coaching. Pam is the founder of Aura Colors, a site designed to help you create joy, love, and fulfillment in every area of your life. She also developed Love Colors. This site is designed to help you find love and friendships by matching you with people who have compatible aura colors. Pam joins us today to talk with us about The Infinite You, with a subtitle, in my mind, of Dancing in the Quantum Field as an Opportunity for Change. Good morning, Pam.
Hi, Richard and Sherry. How are you?
Much better now that you're all Pam and I were laughing backstage that it's possible that part of this vortex of energy could be to do with the excitement happening in Ohio from the Republican convention coming up. Woo. That was
or all that energy. Hey, I wanted to tell Sherry, too. Sherry, looking for my book on Amazon under Infinite You. Yeah, the ones that are charging $50 and $100, that's not from Amazon. Those are people just kind of scamming, so don't buy those. You can actually get it on Amazon very easily under Infinite You. You should be able to. People have been able to order them, so I'll have to check that out.
I finally found it. Where that's a whole market, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, the ones that are selling it for $50 and $100, those are just, yeah, don't buy those. Yeah, my book is only like $18.
Well, I think it's great that they think it's that valuable.
Okay, good. I'll take that. I'll take that compliment.
Perfect. In the quantum field where they're paying that much, excellent.
That's right. So and in some parallel universe, they're paying $1 million for it, right?
There we go. Exactly. More of that. For new listeners to you, I want to ask a foundational question about the, if you can give us a rundown on the color, what I would call the basic colors and their characteristics, and then we're going to dance out from there.
Okay. Well, so for as a foundation, I see energy fields, I see auras, and I see lots of different bands out from people. And the first one or two layers of bands of colors that are closest to the body are what I call the life colors, and those are the colors that stay the same your whole life. Not that I don't believe in free will and that people couldn't change them, but those two colors are the ones that reveal your personality and your relationships and love and health and money and career direction. So those are the colors I'll be describing right now. And for ease sake, I categorize them into three different categories: the physical colors, and those are the colors that get what's real through their physical body, through touch, and those are reds, orange, yellow, and magenta. And then the mental colors, and those are the colors that get what's real by analyzing it through data and information, logic. Those are four different tans, as Sherry mentioned: sensitive tan, abstract tan, logical tan, environmental tan, and then green. And then the spiritual emotional family, and those are blue, violet, indigo, crystal, and lavender. And those are the people that get what's real more through their intuition, their inner vision. And so reds are, like Madonna's a red, Lady Gaga's a red, Marilyn Monroe, Sean Penn. They're more about their physical bodies, and that's what's real to them. And so, and they can also have very hot tempers, but it's all about being a physical being. Oranges are the daredevils on the planet, so Evel Knievel, Jackie Chan, I believe Shaun White, people that he's also got some orange, people that like to do dangerous things and you know, like race car driving and stunt people and rescue workers. They literally have to put their lives on the line to feel alive. So those are oranges. Then we've got the magentas. Magentas are kind of outrageous people. Andy Warhol, the character on Seinfeld that played Kramer, he portrayed a magenta. They're just kind of a little bit, they're very creative, very artistic, but kind of, they like to shock people. I usually see them living in places like San Francisco up by you. And so just, you know, they're just kind of, they're still about physical reality, but they like to take it and make it bizarre. They're the first ones that created the mohawks, purple mohawks, and the body piercings. Now, of course, all kinds of colors are doing that, but magentas are kind of outrageous. And then yellows, and Richard's got a lot of yellow. We are yellows. We love yellows. You probably have a lot of yellows listening to your show, Sherry, because yellows are more about their physical bodies. Yellows are the big kids on the planet. They've got a great sense of humor. They need variety. They need to exercise. They need to be out in nature. Usually love pets like dogs. Not all of them, Richard. But yellows are big kids. So they either, if they had their way, they wouldn't be working at all. But if they do work, they usually do creative work, or they do healing work. They're massage therapists and energy workers. Or they do physical work like gardeners and landscapers and yoga instructors. It's more physical. They usually have a sense of humor, or they're very shy and sensitive, or they're the life of the party. So those are those colors. And then all the tans. Tans are practical, logical, detail people. They usually want safe, secure paychecks. They're the ones that have the patience to take care of the details. I see them usually in jobs like bookkeeping or computer programming or dental assistants. They tend to like security and stability, and they operate more step one, step two, step three, step four, more practical and analytical. Greens are the type A personalities, the workaholics. busy. It's all about accomplishing and money and drive, and they process 1, 2, 10. I've got it. Let's go. Let's go. Typically, they're CEOs. They're corporate people. They're bankers. They're stockbrokers. Donald Trump is a green. He is a straight green. So, and Barbara Walters is green, and Bernie Madoff is green. David Letterman is green and yellow. So you see that workaholic, but then also the sense of humor. So greens are movers and shakers. The good news is they create jobs for other people. The bad news is you do not want to tangle with a green out of power, because you're fired is a typical statement coming from a green. Greens have very high standards. Then we have the blues. Blues are the loving, nurturing, emotional people on the planet. They're typically very spiritual. Matter of fact, most blues are very spiritual. They saw and spoke to God when they were little, or they knew there was a higher power. Blues are typically teachers, counselors, nurses, mothers. They're caretakers. They're very emotional. Blues can watch a commercial and cry. Blues cry when they're happy, sad, angry, but they're the most loving, nurturing. They come straight from the heart. Then we have the violets, and Sherry, even though you're a blue violet, boy, do you have a lot of violet in your aura. And blues are here to help people. Violets need to reach the masses. And Richard, you've got violet in your outer bands, even though you're mostly yellow with a little bit of tan. You've also got violet in your outer bands. Sherry has a lot of violet. Violets are visionaries. They're here to educate the masses, to shift the consciousness of the planet, to improve the quality of life here. Violets usually are more global-minded. So violets, I see them getting involved in the media. They're actors, performers, musicians, broadcasting, anything that can reach the masses. Or I see them getting involved in teaching or psychology. Or I see them getting involved in politics, law, or causes. Violets get very concerned about the stupidity of the masses, because violets are visionaries. They see things way ahead of other people, and you guys think that's just common sense. You go, well, you can see this is what's happening and this is what's coming, but most people can't see what a violet can see, because you see how fast I'm talking? That's because Sherry has violet in her aura. Violets go 150. They don't always know how they're going to get to all those projects, but they see it. They sense it. Then we've got the indigos. Indigos are more androgynous. It's hard to tell sometimes if they're male or female. They're very sensitive, advanced beings. A lot of them are being diagnosed as autistic now, which I find interesting, because they're very highly sensitive. You can't control them with guilt or rewards or anything if it doesn't fit with what they believe spiritually or with their consciousness. They won't do it. So they're here. Violets are here to shift the consciousness of the planet. Indigos are here to live that consciousness, to show us what's possible. So Michael Jackson was indigo with violet. So a lot of indigos are very misunderstood right now. Then we have the crystals. Crystals actually have clear auras. It's like they absorb the other aura colors of the people that they're around. They actually are the aura chameleons on the planet. They're very sensitive, very fragile. They can't be around a lot of people. It blows them out. Now, a lot of sensitive yellows think that they're crystals. But crystals, actually, if they're hanging out with a blue, their aura turns blue and they start acting like a blue. If they're hanging out with a green, their aura turns green and they start acting like a green. So they're typically healers. They're supposed to keep their aura clear. And then they heal people, but usually one person at a time. I've seen them working in libraries or doctor's offices where it can be very clear, very quiet, very serene. I don't see that many crystals, and a lot of people think they are crystals, but it is a very rare aura color. And then we've got, last of all, we've got the lavenders. And lavenders are very sensitive, creative beings. They're not usually, they don't spend a lot of time in their bodies. They can be very fantasy-oriented. They're very sweet. They're very cool. But they're very much about angels and fairies, and they daydream a lot. They're supposed to be artists and designers, and they give us fairy tales, and they're supposed to write books. Like Lewis Carroll and C.S. Lewis, who wrote Alice in Wonderland, they both had lavender in their aura. So they're very fantasy-oriented. I don't see a lot of plain lavenders. I usually see a lavender violet or a lavender blue combination. And most people do have two colors in their aura. So those are the basic life colors that I see in the aura.
And how did you – I have somebody in chat asking me this. How did you develop this? Because as I've known you, and even though Sherry asked me, I think, well, you were trying to dial back in, how long I've known you. It's a long time, but I have no idea how long, because I have no sense of time. Whatever that is, I have no sense of time.
Me neither.
Okay, good. All right. How did this, because it seems to me that you've developed more colors down through the years, not develop, but become more, you know, you're talking about crystals, you're talking about lavenders. How did this develop for you? How did you come up with these definitions?
Well, 33 years ago, something like that, 1984, I encountered a psychic, and I went to hear him speak. He was a shaman, a psychic. I went to hear him speak. I walked into the room, and he said, "You, up here, you know how to do this work, too. I want you to start telling people what you know about them." I went, "What? What? What are you, crazy? I just came here to hear you talk about it." So anyway, he pulled me up to the front of the room and had me start reading people. And I noticed I was getting very detailed information about people that I'd never met before. Like one woman, I knew she was pregnant. She didn't know she was pregnant. So I started, for the first year of doing this work, I realized that I could sense things about people. Now, I believe we all have this ability, by the way, especially blues and violets and indigos are the three most psychic of all the aura colors. Yellows are the most kinesthetic. They can just feel things and sense things in their bodies. Well, so I was doing psychic work for about a year, and I met a woman who could actually see auras, and she had seen them her whole life. She's a synesthesia, so she could actually see energy fields around people. And I watched her describing people, the colors around people, and I went, oh, and it fit with what I was picking up psychically about people. So I went, oh, that's a yellow, because I kept seeing common traits in people. Oh, that's a blue. That's a tan. Okay, now I get it. So within a year of watching her work with other people in workshops, I developed the psychic sense to know what people's aura colors were, and then I started being able to see them and sense them myself. So what I noticed, though, is over years and years of, well, three decades now of doing this, I've noticed a lot of other information about different colors that I went, well, and it's oddly enough, her name was Sherry, too. I went, I'm sorry, what was her name? Oh, my gosh, I'm spacing on her name now, because I'm looking at Sherry and I'm forgetting her name. Anyway, I noticed that she hadn't told me a lot of things about it. I went, well, you didn't tell me violets are like that. Look at all the other things I'm finding out about violets or yellows, or you didn't ever tell me that. So psychically, I was picking up even more information about these aura color personalities.
And do you think this is something that, in a certain way, you're obviously gifted at it? And do you think this is something perhaps in a time when we were not able to communicate verbally that we had these skills more intrinsically?
Oh, I love that question, Richard. Thank you. Here's what I know. Somehow we have been seen, people have been seen and sensing these auras for centuries because we use it in our language already. We talk about somebody being true blue, or I'm feeling blue today, and that totally describes a blues personality. We've got the happy face yellows and chicken yellow, you little scaredy cat yellow. That describes a yellow. We've got green with envy, green money. We have red with anger, red with rage, red with passion. All of those describe a red. And then we've got the violet, the royal robes of a violet, because violets are royalty. They're the old souls, the visionaries on the planet. So we've been using that in our language for a really long time. So somehow, somewhere, people sensed and saw the colors in the aura. And look at Richard and Sherry. We've even had people way back when painting halos or energy fields around the saints. So obviously their auras were so strong and so powerful that people could see them. So we've been doing this for a long time. It's just I feel like we kind of trained ourselves out of it. There are a lot of children and babies and animals that see auras. And then as the children get older, they start losing the ability to be able to see them because they get trained that those aren't real.
I recently, it's been several years now. His daughter's almost three. My son's child, when she was first born, I can kind of see that phaser, in my case, it's the yellow thing, feel that I think that when babies see you when they're really young, they see all that. To them, they haven't really developed vision in a way that's organized into something that has symbols that we make words with or however we want to think about that.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say how I've always had the feeling that when you come up to a baby, what they're seeing is just a blob of swirling color.
They're seeing energy. I've watched babies and animals react to people's auras. I've seen a baby reach out and want to grab somebody or go to them, and I look at their aura and I go, oh, I see what you're seeing. Then I've seen people recoil and pull back and start crying, and I look and I go, oh, that person's got a red overlay, which we didn't discuss. That's somebody who's been damaged from childhood or traumatized in childhood, and they've got red in their outer bands now for protection, but it can turn into anger or self-sabotage. And I've noticed babies and animals reacting to a person's aura, so I know they're seeing and sensing them.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think I've asked you this before. Do places have colors?
Yes. I love these questions. That's great, Richard. Yes, there are different countries, different towns, different states that have different colors to them. And people with certain colors are drawn to those areas for a reason. So, for example, Mexico is very yellow, so is the Southwest. Yellows love warm weather and sunshine and nature, so they're drawn to places where they can be outdoors more. Green. New York is very green. So is Hong Kong. Japan is very green. Germany is very green. A lot of activity, a lot of business, a lot of finance going on in those places. So greens tend to be drawn to those places. It's funny, I have a lot of clients that are yellows that are living in New York, and they're miserable. They're so unhappy. It's like yellows like fun and playful. So Southern California is very yellow. Northern California is more violet with green. So there's violet's more culture. And usually I see violets getting drawn to the coast. But like France is green and violet. And England is very tan and violet. So each of the different countries have their aura colors, and people are drawn to those. I can hear some of your yellow-violet clients going, or listeners going, what about Italy? I'm drawn to Italy and Spain. Those are yellow-violet countries. So is Africa. So a lot of violet countries are going through change right now. Now, the U.S., this to me is very interesting. The United States was actually created. It was born as a yellow-violet country. The yellows like to play, and they want freedom. Violets, it's all about freedom and visionary and future and expanding and affecting the planet, expecting the masses, their leaders, their visionaries. So it was born a yellow-violet country, but it thinks it's supposed to be tan and blue. And tans are very much about practical jobs and make a living and get the paycheck and be responsible and kind of be in the box. And blues are the spiritual. A lot of blues go to church. A lot of blues want to help people. They come from the heart. They're nurturers. They're caretakers. So this yellow-violet country is in transition right now. It wants to be a yellow-violet country. It wants to have freedom and fun and expand and not be in the box. I've noticed that all the tan security things, tans and blues both like security. A lot of that just in the last decade or so has fallen apart. People are losing their homes. They lost 401ks. They lost their security, and it freaked out a lot of people. To me, that's just waking us up. Going, it's not a tan-blue country, it's a yellow-violet country. Wake up, come on, it's okay. We've got to get back into our resourceful, creative, visionary, freedom-seeking people and country and be visionaries on the planet.
Okay, we're diving in now. The deep part of the pool, this is the tricky part. I just can't help myself. I have to jump back slightly that's great about the USA. I have further questions. But first, I want to ask a question about what are, you know, the three big players. Well, the two big players and the one still a big player in his own way. So you've already said that Donald is a Green, which makes so much sense now that you've said that. I thought he had a red overlay. So Hillary and Bernie, what are their colors and characteristics?
Oh, God, this is going to be so interesting to tell people. Hillary, actually, you know, and I had somebody on my radio show going, well, let me backtrack and say this. Supposedly in 2012, we made the shift from the male domineering, thumping your chest, and I'm not talking about men. I'm talking about the male energy, the yin and the yang energy, the male energy, powerful, aggressive, thump your chest, go after, conquer. That male energy supposedly shifted in 2012 or thereabouts into the more of the feminine, the female energy, which is more about vision, nurturing, holistic, and again, yin-yang. I'm not saying man and woman, okay? I'm not putting down men. I love men. So anyway, supposedly we've shifted into the female. Now, what I heard was that Donald represents more of that male energy, that, you know, go, slash, burn, kill, stomp, whatever. And I'm not political, so I'm not just talking politics here, okay? Hillary Clinton, I believe, was born blue and violet. She has learned how to add green. And when I had this guest on my show, he said, I've met her in person. She's actually very warm, very nurturing, very loving. But in order to be in this world, in this political world, she's had to be more male. So Hillary represents the male-female transition, the male-female combination. So she is acting more green and violet. Now, Bernie's also got violet in his aura. He's got yellow, green, and violet in his aura, which has been interesting to watch. So, so those are the aura colors. I knew Hillary had that blue and violet under there. I could feel it, but it was interesting to watch all that green develop in her aura, and I went, well, it makes sense that she's had to be in that because the political world has typically been male-dominated. And again, I'm not political. I'm not telling people who to vote for. I don't do that. I tend to lean towards violets because, to me, violets are more visionary. But we had Gorbachev in Russia was a violet, and then as soon as he did the tear down the wall and things transformed, they got a green in there. They got Yeltsin. Boris Yeltsin was a green-yellow. So I went, wow, it's just interesting to see how much change people can handle and then what they go back to for familiar or I don't know what it is. It's just like, uh-oh, too scary. Violets, you know, Sherry, it's interesting because violets inspire me. I love violets. Violets are scary to some people. Violet, people go, what are you talking about? What do you mean this is what you see? That, you know, we like the same old, the traditional, the safe. Violets are usually trying to educate people about a new way of thinking. So they can get kind of, well, let's put it this way. The Violet Age started in the 60s. The hippies, the Beatles, the peace movement, that was jarring to a lot of people, and it upset them, which is why they did away with a lot of violets. John and Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, they were all violets. The Beatles were all violet-yellow. So do you see how, for the rest of us, we're like, yes, things are changing, let's go, but it was pretty radical for a lot of people, and they didn't like it. Now we're in a violet age, so violets are in their power right now, so they're not killing violets.
And how can we, this will relate to actually somebody was asking me a question about how can people use this information to transform or to move forward. And that's part of the question, this next question having to, from my view of, how can we take advantage of dancing in the quantum field to intention us toward a change or a different possibility, or how do we turn this ship around? And I'm like you, I'm not trying, even though I rant about politics a lot, I'm really not political by nature.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah,
I'm really interested in the idea. I'm really interested in the idea of, though, like, how can we intention, how can we take advantage of this dancing in the quantum field to have opportunity for change?
Well, great question. So let me answer the first one. First of all, how can people take advantage of what, if they know their aura colors, how can that benefit them? I want people to know, because I've got yellow in my aura too, okay? I'm a blue-yellow who's added violet. Yellows, we're pleasers. We you know, we want people to like us, but, man, we hate being told what to do. So I don't ever tell people what to do. But basically, once somebody understands what their aura colors are, it gives you permission to be who you really are. It helps you, helps validate what you've sensed about yourself deep down inside all along. Just so many people have been covered up with, you can't do that, you shouldn't do that, you got to be practical, you got to be responsible. A lot of people have lost touch with who they really are. So first of all, understanding your own aura colors, because they don't rule you. They reflect back what you've chosen to do in this lifetime. They're not running your life. They're not putting you in a box, these aura colors. They're validating who you sense you are. They reflect what you've chosen. Now, it also helps us understand other people better and give them permission to be who they are instead of running around thinking like everybody should think like us. Like, why can't you be more like me? And I go, well, oh, they're a crystal or they're red. I get it. So I can respect and talk their language instead of trying to change them. So it helps you understand yourself, give yourself permission to be who you are, gets clarity about your most compatible relationships, career directions that are going to be fulfilling for you, how you handle money. So that's helpful. You can utilize that information. Now, the bigger question, how we utilize the quantum field. Man, have I studied quantum physics, and Richard and Sherry, it is mind-blowing what quantum physics knows about who we really are, what we're capable of doing, how it's all consciousness, how it's all energy. And because I know that and because I've studied it, I have been able to be telepathic and psychic. I've been able to use the energy, consciousness, and thoughts, and I know it affects energy. I can do everything from bend spoons, and I teach people how to do this. Bend spoons, affect the weather, although, man, boy, do we need to change the drought here in California, well, the West Coast. Anyway, manifest money and working for myself and a beautiful home and love, because I understand that. I know how to use parallel universes. I teach people about parallel universes and how you can change your life once you understand that. We can talk to people on the other side. We can talk to people who have crossed over, guides. There's other frequencies, other dimensions. Once we really get what this really is, this new consciousness that's showing up, we learn then that you want to focus on the solution, not the problem. We create with our thoughts. So if people are focused on fear and chaos and doubt and anger, we're going to create more of that in the world. And it's not just when people go, oh, you're not facing reality. I go, but wait, do you not understand? There's a whole bunch of new information out about what reality really is, and people are still operating out of the old system. It's like they're operating out of, you know, the old DOS system with the computers instead of the new upgraded. Oh, my gosh, technology is flying like crazy, and we haven't caught up with what it's actually saying about our own consciousness. So I tend to focus on love, positivity, empowerment, helping people see it's really about consciousness and who we really are and how our thoughts matter and how our beliefs matter and how we can use that to create our dreams instead of focusing on the fear, the anger, the chaos. Now, what's going on right now is the reason it looks like chaos is because the old system is falling apart and it's going into a new system. And I'm not just talking politics or, you know, economics. It's physics. When something is old is falling apart and a new thing is appearing, a new thing is emerging, I don't care if it's a tree, if it's grass, every time some new system shows up, physics shows chaos. It goes into chaos first so that the new form starts taking place. Just like a caterpillar, when a caterpillar is ready to transform, it goes into the cocoon for safety because everything starts falling apart. You notice a caterpillar has more legs than a butterfly, right? So it starts falling apart and starts reorganizing itself and then it emerges into a butterfly. Well, that's actually what's happening. That was a long answer to your short question, right? But that was a big question, Richard.
No, no, that was a big, hairy question. I know, and I really, I think, I can't remember, I can't remember if you said this or you said it and Rob stole it from you.
it's all the same consciousness.
I know, it's all the same pool. Where our intention goes, our energy flows. And
yeah, I think a lot of people said that. I'm not sure who came up with that. That's
okay,
it's a physics. It's a physics thing. That's probably back to the 1900s.
Right, probably, yeah. And that's really the thing is, that's why the idea to me of, you know, I don't know if a group of us can get together and, like, agree on a point in the quantum field and point toward it in a certain, you know, all focus our intentions. And I don't mean we're in rooms in, you know, robes, you know, chanting, although I'm not opposed to that. But, you know, some way of, let's, can we, before we have to go through a big old, I don't have any words I can use on air about that, you know, big old change where it has to swing all the way out here and then it has to swing back, kind of like a pendulum. Can we do something to, you know, have an intention to, like, make the pendulum not have to swing so far, go like, we overcorrected or we didn't correct enough, kind of like the 60s with the hippies. You know, it went too far in a certain way. People freaked out, and then it sort of swung back, and then it came back, and now it's kind of like, okay, that's okay now. So do you feel that there's a way that we can, you know, focus on something to, like, whatever is going to happen in Ohio or not in Ohio, you know, just in general by the time we land?
Oh, it's such a great question, Richard. So watch the layers of this one. First of all, absolutely, there's proof that that happens. You know, Maharishi took a group of meditators to Washington, D.C. years ago, and they got a police department involved. They got everybody involved to watch the difference. And they meditated. I can't remember how long they meditated, and the crime in that city dropped radically because they were setting out the intention peace and calm. So our consciousness absolutely matters, especially when we come together in a group. I mean, where two or more of us are gathered together. So that's the first layer, our intention, our group focus. We've been able to get it to rain in California because we start these Facebook campaigns. It's like, okay, rain, everyone, rain. And it's rained when it has not been anywhere in the forecast. So I know it works. Unfortunately, what we're dealing with right now is a lot of people going, drought, 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 drought. It's like, stop focusing on the drought. You've got to focus on rain so we can create rain. Now, that's one answer. Now, Richard, watch this answer. When you really understand what parallel universes say about reality, that there are infinite number of parallel universes, an infinite number of you in different universes, and every time you make a choice or focus on something else or change a belief, every time you decide to go left instead of right, another you, and I know this sounds like science fiction, and, you know, this is a deep subject too, but another you splits off and goes left when you went right and is having an entirely different experience that day than you are. And this is quantum physics. This is not science fiction. It's quantum physics. So if you look at it that way, Richard, I want to go, okay, now what are you and I right now doing in a parallel universe where there's chaos and there's silly stuff going on and there's coups and there's, you know, it's like, okay, sometimes we do it for the drama. Sometimes we do it because we've bought into a belief that that's what's happening. That's why I don't watch the news. I don't watch any of that stuff because it sucks me into that drama, and then I start adding to the creation of that. So I choose to focus on creating how I want the world to be, and I'm telling you that is my reality. And when I run into people that go, well, you're just being, you know, you're hiding your head in the sand. You don't know what's happening out there in the world. Hold on. And I go, no, 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 no. Actually, the one who's hiding their head in the sand and not facing reality are the people that are not looking at what quantum physics is saying about reality now. They don't know about E equals MC squared, what it's saying. They don't know about non-local mind and parallel universes and consciousness. It's like, you guys, that's the stuff that's powerful, that's the reality that we should be focusing on, because that's how we create a different world. That's how we create the world that we want. But everyone's got their own reality, their own movie going on.
And is there a way that we could... Go ahead, Sherry.
That brings us to a question from our audience about what kind of aura does a victim look like and how can they change it?
Well, victims, first of all, I don't know that it's a particular aura colors, but I can tell you this. Blues and yellows and tans tend to be, and lavenders, more of the sensitive colors, the loving colors. Blues are very common to be victim, martyr, self-pity, because blues will put up with things more often than not. So what I want those people, what I would encourage those people to do is to learn how to stay in power with your colors as opposed to out of power. In power means you're living the positive qualities of those. So once blues realize who they are and they don't have to be victims to show that they love somebody or tolerate being stepped on, once these colors know how to stay in power, and I mean that's the positive qualities. I use the words in power and out of power instead of positive and negative. The negative side or the downside of the out of power side of a personality, it's there are tools to know how to get into power, and I put that on my website. I put that, which people can go to the website and take the free aura color quiz and learn about their colors. I've written it in my books, as Sherry mentioned, Life Colors and Love Colors. So the colors that typically don't allow themselves to be victimized are violets and greens and reds. Those colors are like, not in my world. They're three of the strongest of the aura colors. They're more powerful typically. Now, people with red overlays have typically been victimized as a child. They've either been physically, mentally, or emotionally abandoned, rejected, abused, or they had a life-threatening situation, either when they were in the womb or they were sick as a child or they got into a bad accident. That creates a red overlay, and people with red overlays tend to attract more drama and abuse in their lives because of that pattern. John Lennon had a red overlay, and so did Steve Jobs. Trauma from their childhood, it turns into anger, but it can create life-threatening situations. So people want to get that red overlay off. I'm not trying to scare people. There is a way to remove a red overlay. You just have to feel safe here. But I have that on my site, and I've got that in my book, too, How to Let Go of a Red Overlay. So those are very commonly people that can get abused or people that have been abused or victims as children.
And I see, well, no, I have to ask this question first. I can't help it. Can you say a bit more about the non-local mind? I love that phrase. I'd like my mind to be not local. It would be quieter. So say a bit more about that non-local
well,
mind.
Well, actually, non-local mind, and again, this is quantum physics. The old paradigm, the Newtonian physics says, thinks that the mind is in the brain. That the brain is what's creating consciousness. And quantum physics is going, no, don't think so, that our consciousness expands not only beyond the brain, but beyond our bodies. It's everywhere. It's non-local, which is why I can help people find missing bodies, missing persons. I can tune into someone around the world that I've never met before and tell you all kinds of things about them. I can tune into your loved ones that have crossed over. I can have a conversation with them because I know my consciousness is not limited to my brain. That's like I use the analogy of your TV set. You're watching all these shows on television, and you think that TV is generating those shows? No way. The waves, the radio waves are, the television waves, the satellite waves are in the environment all around you. They're in the atmosphere. They're in the air. And you are bringing them into your TV. You're using your TV as a focusing mechanism to bring those shows in. That's what we're doing. Consciousness is non-local, means it's not localized in your brain. It's everywhere. It has no limits. It can transcend parallel universes, time, space, It transcends all of that. And I've learned how to use that, which is why I can do psychic. I can see past, present, and future. I can be telepathic. Because I have studied quantum physics and I know it's real and I use it, which is why I teach people this. My goal is to expand our consciousness, is to show people who we really are. First of all, it is so much more fun. It's so much more fascinating. It's so much more exciting. You can create anything you desire, and it helps us get out of our fear, and it helps us get out of feeling like we're victims. We're actually creating reality. And I know this sounds outrageous to most people, but it is physics. It's the new physics. And so I'm hoping people will, come on, you guys, we got to learn this so we can be happier and freer and more fun and more loving.
And is this, do you teach this one-on-one, or is this really the courses? I noticed at auracolors.com that you have the tab now with the course summaries. I, of course, want to jump to Infinite U course. Right away. I just want to skip right to Infinite U course. That's part of my Violet. And so do you teach people individually this, or really do you suggest they go through the courses to learn this and then work more with you directly?
Well, both, but I love that you're asking this question, Richard, because, and I haven't announced this, it's not even on my website yet, we're just now putting them together, I'm doing a whole bunch of workshops this year. I'm going to be doing an AuraColor workshop in Ireland and also in Germany. I'm going to be doing Develop Your Intuitive and Psychic Abilities in those locations. I'm going to be doing the Infinite U course. In America, in California, Santa Barbara, I'm going to be doing the Quantum Leap workshop. It's a two-day intensive, and I'm really going to immerse people in it. And we did this last year, and people were bending spoons. They were being telepathic. They were giving each other psychic readings. They were seeing their past lives and their future lives. So I immerse people in this so it becomes real for you. And then I'm even going to be doing a five-night retreat in California where I have people immerse themselves in this new reality for four solid days, five nights, where it becomes real. Now, if people can't go to any of these workshops, I do have them in. I've created a lot of e-courses. So, yeah, people can go. The e-courses on the AuraColors, they're all there. You can just go buy your own particular AuraColors, or you can buy the whole thing and learn about all the colors. I've got the Infinite U course on there. I've got Develop Your Psychic Abilities workshops on there. I have all kinds of things on e-courses, but people can also come to these workshops and experience them live. And if you go and sign up on my mailing list or watch the website, hopefully, Jarlef, if you're listening in Ireland right now, we're going to be posting those workshops hopefully in the next week or two.
Wow. I was pulling into the psychic field, that quantum moment in the future where that's just happening as we speak.
Yeah, and the retreat, I'm only going to have 10 people at the retreat because I really want to focus focused attention on each individual. So it'll only be 10 people for the retreat, but I can do more of those later if people like them.
And where's the retreat going to be? Is that in Santa Barbara?
Retreat is going to be I don't have the location yet, but
okay.
Near Santa Barbara. It'll be Southern California. But it's coming. I'm in negotiations with some facilities right now, some retreat places.
Excellent.
If I want to show this to people, do I go to your Facebook, or how do they get in touch?
AuraColors.com. They can go to Facebook, too. I've got three Facebook pages, but they can go to AuraColors.com, AuraColors. And all my information is on that website, including videos and the free quiz for your aura colors. It's all there.
Okay, we're looking at aura colors.
Oh, go ahead,
course
Sherry.
Summaries, beginners, courses, personal aura courses. I see them. I'm putting them up for people.
Yay. And then stay tuned for the workshop notification pretty soon. As soon as we get those landing pages designed and up there, people will be able to sign up for those. Because with those, there's no limit on how many people can come. And it's so cool to be able to be in a room with like-minded people and start practicing this. It's amazing how many people bent spoons last year. It's like, yay, fun. It's just showing us what we're capable of doing, showing us that we're more powerful and more amazing than we've been taught to believe.
I love that idea. And in between all of this, You're still doing one-on-one sessions with people?
Yes, I am. I'm seeing 6 to 8 people
wow.
a day.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. Yeah,
so
you have in your
private.
go ahead.
If people want a private session, if they want to look at, you know, where they're going, who they are, whatever, I can. I'm very, very psychic. Well, Richard, Well, I've talked to you before. I don't know if you've ever had a private session with me, but I can help people with all kinds of things.
Right.
So, love life.
No, I'm aware. I know lots of. I know many people that have had sessions with Pam, and always come away happy. I mean, in a sense, maybe not completely happy because they might have to do some homework, but you know, like completely. Wow, that was, you know, fun and informative, and now I, you know, have a firmer grip. So the idea of being in a room
powerful.
With you for powerful.
Well, and I do it on the phone. I do it on the phone, too. So if they don't want to come to Santa Barbara in person, I do this on the phone. I have clients all over the world.
Yeah. Santa Barbara workshop sounds good. I'm making a note. Okay.
When I said it's unlimited, I will say there is some limitation because it's the capacity of the room.
Right, of course. That's good. That's good to have that in your mind. No, wait. There is a limit because the quantum field is bigger than that. We have to be able to contain this in a space. This isn't like the holodeck where you push a button and it's just boom, we're there.
I'm working on that.
It really is kind of like a holodeck. Once you get into the Newtonian physics, it really is just a holodeck. We just have to find the control panel. I think in my case, I know I'm groping for the control panel still, but I know the quantum the holodeck is there.
There you go. It's a hologram. Mm-hmm.
It's all a hologram. We just have to remember that. We can turn this ship around. I know it. The you know ship USA can
you
be
know
turned
what?
Around.
It's not about struggling to get rid of the old stuff we don't like. It's about ignoring that and creating the new. Once you create the new, the old stuff falls off automatically. You just create the new. You focus on creating the new.
Okay. I'm taking a deep breath. I'm with
you. When fruit's ready to grow on the tree, it doesn't have to go, oh, God, how do I get rid of this flower that's in the way? I got to get rid of the flower first. It just emerges and the flower falls off.
Yes, okay. That's good. I like that metaphor. That's great. Thank you. That helped a lot. Well, I knew this was going to go fast. In the quantum field, I need to step into the quantum field where things are a little longer and slower. But this was awesome.
Well, thanks for having me on again. And Sherry, you didn't get a chance to talk, but...
I think I'm going to call you and have a private reading. I've got that information up for people looking at it in your phone number and your email. I'm kind of at a stuck place, and I really need a shove over the edge one way or the other.
A shove. We'll give you some insights and some ideas about direction.
And Richard is hard to get a word in edgewise.
Sorry.
Well, Richard and Pam like to chat.
I really wanted to dance in the quantum field, and I know how good Pam is at it and how much she loves it. So I know that it's ultimately the direction we all want to go, but it's always a slightly mind-blowing holodeck kind of conversation, like, wow, really? Whoa.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
That's the thing, you guys. It's real and it's possible. It's real. I'm living it. I'm doing it. I know this is, and I'm not the only one. There are thousands of people out there that are activating these same abilities. So if we can do it, that means all of us have the ability to do it. People might not choose to, and some people will be better at some of these abilities than others, just like some people are better athletes and some people are better writers and artists, but we all have the ability to do it.
A moment's silence while I ponder that.
We did not get to talk about the infinite journey.
Yeah, that's what we've been talking about. That's what's in my Infinite You book, is all that last stuff. Telepathy, parallel universes, auras, energy fields, talking to the other side, past lives, future lives, other lives. That's what we just talked about, Sherry. That's what's in my book, Infinite You.
33 customer reviews on Amazon, 5 stars. We're looking at it. People think it's absolutely wonderful, but then people just think you're wonderful. So.
Oh, yay. Wait, who have you been talking to? No, I'm kidding. Thank you, Sherry.
All right.
Right.
Well, thank you so much, Pam. That was a blast. Yeah. I knew it would be. That was great. Thank you so much.
Well, and thank you for letting me get that information out there. I just get so inspired, and I want people to be happy and joyful and free and have all their dreams come true. So thank you for letting me share that what's possible with people.
It's great. Thank you so much. And everybody have a great rest of the weekend, and we'll see you on Tuesday where we're talking about something that I don't know at this moment. It'll pop up in the quantum field. I'll be notified. Any closing thoughts, Sherry?
No, I knew it was going to be absolutely delightful. It always is with Pam. Thank all of you for being here. If you think this is a wonderful show, and I do, please post it. We'll have it up on our site within a couple of hours. It'll be on Blog Talk within a half hour or so. Send other people to Pam's books and her inspirations. And I think her biggest message, for me anyway, is we can all have it all if that's what we choose.
I think that's a great guideline. It's wonderful. I think Pam's book is the manual on how to run the holodeck. That just came to me. So I think that's really what it is. So everybody have a great rest of the week. Thanks again, Pam. That was wonderful.
Thank you for having me on the show. I really appreciate being able to play with
okay.
you guys.
You bet. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.